and welcome to this episode of the Alone Blue podcast. We are a couple of days late due to unavoidable circumstances, but we're here now, and the IPL is in its second half. There's been some interesting matches over the past week, or the first half of the IPL. Some controversy, some fantastic performance both in bowling and batting, hundreds, hat-tricks, etc. So we'll have a look at all of those and review them. I'm your host, Srini Pasadi, and I'm joined by Venkat as usual. Hello, Venkat. How are you?
Hi, Srini. I'm doing very well. Thanks. How about you?
Yes, good. Thanks. It's been good and interesting week in the IPL. Some highlights with centuries and hat-tricks, and some not so good with no ball controversies, etc. We'll probably take a look at those. Maybe as we've reached the halfway stage, we'll have a review of where the different teams of what's been good for them and what their playoff chances are as we go along. But before we do all of that, let's quickly look at a roundabout of what's happening in the world of cricket. The first, interesting news in the world of cricket is, like, you know, we talked about this last week when Rob Key was announced as the managing director of England cricket and Joe Root gave up on the captaincy. It looks like there'll be a new captain that'll probably be soon announced. But more than the captain, we'll come to the captain in a second. I'll get your opinion on, you know, who is likely to be the captain. But I'm interested to, like, you know, hear your thoughts on Rob Key's. He's advertised for two coaches. So the split coaching in terms of white ball and red ball. I think England were the first team that went down the route of, like, you know, having split captaincy with white and red ball. Now they're going down the route of having a split coaching for white and red ball.
Yeah, I think that's a right move, if you honestly ask me, because the skill sets required are different, and you almost need two different teams. Most of it is, most of the countries are like that anyway. They have two different teams, barring some players who play a dual role. So I think it makes sense, because the techniques, the hitting versus, you know, the contrast in the world of cricket, especially in terms of technique, in terms of batting, especially, is so varied. And so having two different coaches would and should benefit. I think it also shows that England are keen to bring Test match back into the limelight. They had fair, reasonable success in the ODI or the white ball format.
But yeah, it's slightly different from, you know, where India are, isn't it? So when Kohli resigned from the T20 captaincy, but still held on to the ODI captaincy and the Test captaincy, India decided to go with Rohit Sharma taking over both.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like, you know, India decided to go with the same captaincy for all formats. I get it, like, you know, I mean, there is the whole thing of, as you said, like, you know, different skill sets. And I think for England, at least, there's a different coaching mentality also required with the two different captains. Owen Morgan, with his white ball team, you know, both in the ODI T20 format, you know, it's a completely different team. And as you said, like, you know, quite successful, as opposed to what was Joe Root's team and what's likely to be a new captain's Test team now, where they struggle both from a batting perspective. So the bowling's all right. The batting probably is more the struggle. So yeah, you're right, you know, they probably need, both from a skills perspective but also from a man management and a team mentality perspective, or where the teams are in their evolution, if you like, you know, two different teams, and probably need two different coaches. Will be interesting to see who takes, and also the fact that they are on the road so much makes so much more sense for them to have two different coaches. Looks likely, like, you know, Ben Stokes might be the next Test captain.
No choice other than him. I mean, we have discussed this in the past, haven't we, Srini? The captain has to be an automatic selection in the team. And because Broad and Anderson were dropped, and I don't think Anderson would skipper. Broad probably, I think he was offered and he... I don't think he would be looked at as a captaincy candidate. But yeah, Ben Stokes is the other option, who is a default pick other than Joe Root. So if it's not Joe Root, it's going to be Ben Stokes, and that's the end of.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, the most likely pick, you know, after Joe Root in the team is Ben Stokes. Stuart Brown-Anderson, yes, but it's also fair to say, like, you know, there isn't, although a lot of noise was made, you know, around Anderson Stewart both dropping for the West Indies tour post Ashes, it is fair to say, like, you know, Anderson at best has got another year this summer and maybe this winter. You know, I think it'll be just this summer, probably, you know, with New Zealand followed by India
India.
coming
One
over.
more go against Kohli
Yeah.
in Edgbaston. I hope Kohli returns back to his 149, which I w had the privilege of watching that day. It was a brilliant knock, and hopefully that magic is replicated. Let's see,
Yeah,
fingers crossed.
so there's, like, you know, two tests against New Zealand, one against India, and then three against South Africa, excuse me, which probably is a good swan song, you know. I think, but we will see. Moving on, you know, sort of like on the IPL front in terms of other news from the IPL. So I think I did see this, but I'm not sure whether it's like confirmed in terms of the IPL playoffs being held in Kolkata and Ahmedabad.
There was one, at best now there is a reasonable, it's almost a speculation. It's not a confirmed news, I believe. I don't, I different websites, have different information around this. I think it is one thing we can see is that it's going to be full capacity crowds, and one is going to be held in Kolkata and Ahmedabad. It's across the west and east of the country.
Yeah,
We'll have to see how it.
I think the news was that the first qualifier and the eliminator will be in Kolkata, and then they move on to, like,
Yeah.
the qualifier two and the final in Ahmedabad at the new Narendra Modi Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming thick and fast. The second half of the IPL has started. You know, we can have a look at this point in terms of the table, if you like, and then from there assess what the playoff chances are for the different teams, and then as we go through each of those teams, you know, we could probably talk about, like, sort of what's been the highlight for them.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, starting at the top of the table right now as it stands, it's Rajasthan Royals who are at the top of the table at the minute, following their win yesterday. They've won six out of their eight games, now losing just two. I think a couple more victories and that will pro they I mean, they've still got about six games left. I think a couple more wins from the remaining six games, and they should probably definitely they will definitely qualify for the playoffs.
Yeah, they just need two more wins, which I think is definitely in the reckoning, because they do have six games and you have to win two. So there is definitely more chances that they would, 99%, you can say, unless there is a catastrophic thing that goes. Yes, I think you should have Rajasthan as one of the playoff
Yeah,
teams.
I think talking about Rajasthan, like, you know, we should mention, like, you know, the two standout players this IPL so far, you know, both the orange cap and the purple cap is with Rajasthan Royals in terms of Josh Butler. He's I think around 499 runs now in eight matches, 300s, three centuries to be precise, and similarly Yuzi Chahal with the purple cap.
Yeah, they do have that, isn't it? I mean, I think Butler's form has been phenomenal. We spoke about, even in the last podcast, about Butler's ascendant, his third IPL century, as well. He has three IPL centuries now, and you have Chahal has been brilliant. Even in this game yesterday, I think he was really bowling well. So yeah, it's good for him having moved on from Charles' perspective as well as India's Colin perspective. I think you definitely see Chahal coming into coming into a T20 team. Hopefully.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's got 18 wickets at the moment, as we do this. While we talk about the Rajasthan Royals, we should kind of mention, we talked about both the century, three centuries, but that third century that it was against the DC game, the lowlights, if you like, from this first season was the no ball controversy and what followed after that. For listeners who haven't heard about this in terms of what happened in that game, Delhi were almost, I think, on the verge of winning. They needed about 15 runs, I think, in the last 3 months.
No, it was like 36 runs, isn't it? But he hit three sixes.
Yeah, so they needed, I think, about 18.
18
Well,
runs on them.
although the six on the third ball was actually, I genuinely think it was a no ball. It was a very tight no ball, but it didn't get called. And the third umpire as well, it didn't go to the third umpire. And suddenly, Rishabh Pant decided to call his players in. Now, I know something similar happened with Dhoni as well, a couple of seasons ago. But even at that point, Dhoni actually came in and demonstrated with the umpire, but there was at no point he was trying to call the plays back. And I don't know what Rishabh Pant was thinking, but because essentially, if he did call his plays back, he was forfeiting the match and they were going to
Match,
lose it.
yeah.
So it just didn't seem to make sense, why you would call him out. But then for Praveen Amre to then come back in and have a remonstration with the umpires, it shows how divided sort of the leadership structure was in terms of
Yeah.
Shane Watson later on coming and saying, that was completely wrong what his team did. He's the assistant coach, and him saying, well, once the umpire is giving the decision, yes, it may have been wrong, but it's something that you've just got to accept and move on.
Yeah, it was definitely a low light. I think probably Namre has been fined one match. He's been banned for a match and 100% of match fees. I think Rishabh Pant the same. I think Shardul Thakur was also fined 50% of his match fee. Understandable in the heat of moment, but what I will, Rishabh Pant hopefully learns from this and moves on, because he almost is being looked at as the next gen captain for India. And so from that point of view, he can do all he wants in this kind of tournaments. But once he, I think it will add only to his experience. We all have done that at some point in time or the other, lost our cool in the heat of the moment. So.
I mean, as we said, the man, MS Dhoni, the ice cool man, he himself kind of had this couple of years ago. So not to say well, if MS Dhoni does it, it's fine for Rishabh Pant, but as you say, it happens in the heat of the moment. Yes, at some point later on, people will kind of realize, and it'll be a learning process for Rishabh Pant. So moving on from Rajasthan. So they obviously won their two games this week, one against the DC, and I think the other one was against RCB yesterday, which is a low scoring game. Although Chahal didn't actually get any wickets, Ashwin, I think, actually got Ashwin got four in that. So we'll talk about RCB and Kohli in a bit, sort of as we come down to their chances and look at that game from yesterday. The team at second place then is Gujarat Titans. Again, they've won, sort of six out of their seven matches. In fact, as we record this podcast, Gujarat are currently playing against SRH,
Yes, Saraj, who have
who.
walloped 195 with the last over going for 25 runs. I think Shashank Singh has hit the last three balls for six. Oh, it's just, four sixes in the last over with a single.
So
But Gujarat's chances of winning, 195 is always a tough score, no matter how It is, I mean, win probability from ESPN now at 75% SRH
Such.
is big. And they have good pace bowlers.
Yeah, I was going to say that, like, so it's not an easy team, They definitely have been the pick, the surprise in SRH. We'll talk about Gujarat in a second, but SRH are obviously in the third position of the table. So it's very likely that at the end of this game, the tables might swap. They've actually got a better run rate. So if SRH win this game, they will be the same points as Gujarat, but probably with a much superior run rate. In fact, they could potentially actually go top of the table because their run rate over Rajasthan Royals is also even more superior. So a win will only help them with, and they could actually go to the top of the table, which is a big surprise. We thought they would probably be the team that would finish at the
The
bottom.
bottom.
When we
Yeah,
look
when
at
we
the auction,
started.
when we did the preview, and the auction, we expected SRH to be there right at the bottom. The Kane Williamson kind of, it's definitely doing his magic there. But
Yeah,
let's go
they're
back.
definitely punching above their weight, Srini. In my opinion, it is still, I know now they are and they're in the top four, and I'm not wishing them any bad or, I just want everybody to play really good cricket. But I almost think that they are, a couple of games, in the script, one or two games, and then they will start to go down because they don't have the bench strength. They don't have the reserves and so on and so forth. So I think from that perspective, when we predicted that I think still holds good. They're way punching above, way above their weight now, the SRH, and may it continue for the good of them. But it's from a prediction point of view, I think still, they are now at the top, or at the top four, but it will be for us to see how it goes as we go into deep into the tournament.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, in terms of punching above their weight, etc. But equally, I think, if you look at the sort of stats, Natarajan is just 3 wickets behind Yuzvendra Chahal, sort of from the purple cap,
Yep.
sort of your perspective. So there is they do have the bowling strength. Umran Malik, he's been a find of the season. They would argue, the guy they retained, he's actually repaid with 10 wickets in 8 matches. Bhuvneshwar Kumar's up there as well, 9 wickets. And from a batting perspective as well, there's just Abhishek Sharma. We just talked about, Abhishek Sharma is in the top 10, and Aidan Markram is just outside the top 10, Rahul Tripathi as well. So they even though I think Kane Williamson, you probably argue, hasn't been pulling his weight, in terms of play, the player that he is, they are probably a team where they've collectively, the whole team has collectively,
Yes, true
which is
enough.
probably why, whereas as compared to, if you talked about Rajasthan Royals, I think to a large extent it's been Jas Buttler and Yuzvendra Chahal, with
Yeah, they're
contribution, with a little bit of contributions from others, but they are probably the main two people who've really pulled them through.
yeah, I think just touching briefly on SRH, they are greater than their sum of their parts. I think that they are playing as a team. You can see that they want to prove everybody wrong, and the fast bowling has definitely helped that. And surprise batting upsets, like what we've seen the last over, they have added 25 runs. And that's a winning score, isn't it? Between 195 and 165, you're talking about
Yeah,
great.
we obviously we kind of moved and talked about Sunrisers in a lot of way, but equally, Gujarat Titans, who, again, as we speak, as I said, who could still chase down this 195. They, for them, the highlights of the season, from a batting perspective, has been, well, I guess, Hardik Pandya, obviously, leading the charts for Gujarat Titans, and Shubman Gill is another one. Two of them, really have done. David Miller's probably had a good contribution as well. So both
Yeah.
from a batting perspective, they've had quite a good thing. And Hardik Pandya's captaincy has been another big. Surprisingly for me, though, this time around was Rashid Khan really hasn't done
Yeah.
that much from a bowling perspective.
Yes, he's gone for a few runs. And the other surprise I would want to point out without placing a focus on this guy is Saha. A couple of games that I've watched, he was like really aggressive, almost taking the leaf out of Dinesh Kartik's book. So as we speak, he's still scoring fours and sixes. Hit the third ball of the game today for six. You wouldn't expect him to play that kind of role, but here he does. So I think that's also a positive.
I mean, the big positive coming out of GT is Hardik Pandya, both batting, bowling, and captaincy overall.
Yes,
You know, it's a
captain.
big thing for I think from an Indian perspective. And then we obviously talking about them, we can't forget Rahul Tiwati doing the Rahul Tiwati thing anyway in this.
They're reasonably so. Just to summarize, Srini, so what we are saying is, what we are saying is that the three top teams, Rajasthan Royals, Gujarat Titans, and Sunrisers Hyderabad's not necessarily in that order, but they all need only two or three wins to win to be in the playoffs. So that says a lot.
the teams below, from five onwards, we'll get to them in a minute. Let's look at the number four team as it stands right now, with Lucknow Super Giants. So the two new teams, both Gujarat and Lucknow, both are in the top, which is good news actually. Lucknow Super Giants are the other team that's in the top four. And the thing to also kind of look at is all the top teams in the top four all have positive net run rates. And then the team in the remaining, the bottom six, pretty much a couple of them have a negative. The only two teams that have some positive net run rate there is Delhi and KKR because of some big wins. But yeah, Lucknow Super Giants again. KL Rahul's been excellent from a batting perspective. He scored his second 100, so it's like last the week before. Butler scored 100, Rahul scored 100. This week, Butler scored 100, Rahul scored 100. So he's got 200s. QDK has been there and thereabouts. Again, this is another one team where you think there's a number of batsmen contributing. Quinton de Kock, Deepak Hooda, Ayush Bhodoni, we talked about him a couple of weeks ago, right at the beginning. Kunal Pandya to some extent. So there's been an overall contribution from all of them from a batting perspective.
But unlike Hardik Pandya, Rahul is not no stranger to leadership. He's captained teams before, so that should help in terms of how they progress and how they are on the field. We can't discount the tactical nuance that kind of comes into picture once you progress into. Of course, every team has really big analysts and coaches and everybody feeding into this thing, but at some point in time, the credit is due where credit is due, and Rahul has led beautifully. It's good for Indian cricket.
I mean, he's obviously had previous experience. He's led an odd match here and there in the T20 team as well for India. I think he obviously did for Punjab Kings the last 2 years. So he's obviously had more exposure to leading. And again, I think Gujarat is another team where we talked about Rahul's contribution, but equally from a batting and bowling, it's been quite well shared the load. Avesh Khan's from a bowling perspective, Avesh Khan, Jason Holder, Kunal Pandya, Ravi Bishnoi, all of them have picked wickets at different times, and it's been like a this Gujarat team, just looking at the names we just mentioned, Avesh Khan,
Lucknow, you mean?
Lucknow, sorry, the Lucknow Super Giants, yeah. So Avesh Khan, Jason Holder, Kunal Pandya, Ravi Bishnoi, and in the batting, you're talking about probably KL Rahul and Quinton de Kock, yeah, definitely big names from T20 international perspective. But then the likes of Deepak Hooda, Ayush Bhodoni, Kunal Pandya, etc., they are not really what you would call really big batting superstars. So It's this is similar to what we talked about, SRH. This is like a collection of team with a couple of superstars thrown in for good measure, you know, coming together and doing well.
Yeah, it is. I think this, you know, it bodes well for Indian cricket. That's one thing heartening to see. Lucknow again, they are not as bad as their kid is.
Yeah, that's the only downside for Lucknow, the kid. And yeah, just closing in on Lucknow, they probably need about another 3 or 4 wins out of their 6 matches.
Yeah, it is still hit or miss. 4 out of 6 is a very high percentage of wins that you need. Other
Yeah.
teams will also. And what happens is you would have these odd games against, I don't know what games they play against whom, very specifically, but Mumbai, Chennai, who people who are, Chennai is not yet out, but I'm just saying, but you know, people at the bottom of the table will now play unhinged cricket, and you'll have people coming in from the bench and trying to upset. So that is also a dynamic that is going to be playing in people's mind,
Yeah, I mean,
the team's mind.
having just a quick look, you know, two of Lucknow's games are against the other top two, like, you know, Rajasthan Royal and Gujarat Titans. They've got a couple of games left actually against KKR.
Yeah.
So you're right, you know, KKR, Punjab and Delhi. It's, I think, well, this is interesting, isn't it? So the two of their games is against the top two, Rajasthan and Gujarat, as it stands, you know. I should emphasize that because Sunrisers could go right above those two teams. And then the other three teams at the bottom, you know, KKR, Delhi and Punjab, who've got an outside chance of getting in. So yeah, Lucknow will need to be on their toes, as you say, to win. It's just a matter of time, you know, how quickly it will change, because the next team we're going to talk about, Royal Challengers Bangalore, are right on the coattails of Lucknow. They've also got 10 points, so which means Lucknow cannot afford much losses. RCB, as it stands at the minute, they've had, like, they played 9 games, you know, and 5 wins. So which probably, so what we're saying is, like, you know, they need another, I think, 4 wins out of their 5 games remaining. That's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, I think yes. It didn't help that they lost yesterday's game. I think
Yeah.
if they won yesterday's game, it would have really helped them. So, you know, I think the loss yesterday meant that they are, you know, below LSG.
Yeah, and who have they got? They've got the Gujarat Titans to play yet. Twice, in fact, Gujarat Titans, so that's going to be difficult ones for Bangalore. And then they've obviously got the local rivals, Chennai Super Kings, to play again. Yeah, it Sunrisers Hyderabad is another one. So it looks to me like, you know, so the three of, well, out of their remaining 5 games, 4 of them are difficult games. Twice against Gujarat Titans, once against Sunrisers Hyderabad, who are right up there. And the CSK game, you know, even though CSK are right, you know, way below them in ninth, it is always a, similar to the El Clasico that we talked about, Mumbai and CSK. This is a derby game with Bangalore and CSK. It'll not be an easy one. So it's, yeah, RCB have got a, I think RCB have got a more difficult run in than Lucknow.
Yes. Yeah, and should we address the elephant in the room?
Yeah, the elephant in the room, definitely, you know. I don't know.
I don't know if he would listen to his ex-coach and take a break from IPL. That's what he suggested, Ravi Shastri. I don't think he would do that. You know, when he started yesterday's game, I was watching very keenly. Just to see how he gets along. Two pretty streaky boundaries, which each one could he could have got out. And I think the commentator is saying the luck is back, and you know what commentator, you know what happens when commentators say
Yeah.
like that, right? In cricket, so immediately, you know, there was a toe end and hit the helmet and he was caught. And now I think it's more the body language of Kohli when he gets out is like, yeah, I mean the wry smile, and he's not, he's beyond dejection and disappointment. I think he's almost going through the motions. And for the good of world cricket, if I can say, and particularly Indian cricket, you need him to be back in form, which I hope We will see a very interesting next few games in terms of strategy, in terms of how Faf approaches this, Mike, how Mike has an approaches the situation, because Kohli is obviously a larger than life character, and at some point in time, they will have to take a fall.
And interesting enough, it is the batting from RCB that's been struggling. The only two players who've got over 200 plus runs. I mean, we talked about Rajasthan Royal, and I know Butler's kind of been phenomenal, but having scored like over 500, almost 500 runs from a batting perspective, if you look at it, there is actually no RCB player in. I think Faf du Plessis, there's nobody else in the top 10. Faf du Plessis is the most, in terms of the highest. And then, in fact, there's nobody in other than Faf du Plessis in the top 20. So that shows you, batting's where the weakness has been. Dinesh Karthik obviously has done a fair few bit. The bowling, actually, on the other hand, if you look at it, in the top 11 so far, they've got at least three players. Varinder Hosrajka is right up there with almost th with 13 wickets. Hazelwood and Harshal Patel have got 10 each. So usually the always the problem, in the past had been they had a very good batting with Glenn Maxwell, Virat Kohli, AB de Villiers, even Paddy
Gale.
Cleaver when he was doing. They used to Chris Gayle at some point. They used to have the bowling always used to struggle. It's a change now that the bowling seems to have been slightly better this year, and the batting's really struggling.
These are not bad players by any means. Maxwell is a T20 veteran. He's played like million zillion T20s, and so has Faf, played from CSK. Kohli, you don't have to say. Dinesh Karthik, it's a good batting unit, but it's just that they are not firing as a team. But let's see how they go from here on. It will be really interesting, but it will also be very difficult for them to.
I think it'll be difficult. They can make it, but they probably have got the more difficult run in as opposed to Lucknow. So the team then just outside of that is the next one is the Punjab Super King, well, Punjab Kings, not the Super Kings. Punjab, they are on the table at number 6, having won four, lost four out of their eight games. Again, so at 8 points, I think they probably need five wins out of their remaining six games, because I mean, I'm basing this on the fact the around 18 points mark is what will be the qualifying kind of the bottom qualifying, so to speak, as a minimum will get you there. Maybe 16 could, but potentially I think 18 is probably what you need, and Punjab need about another 10 points, which means they need five wins out of their remaining six games. Not going to be easy.
It's not easy from RCB. When we say Lucknow, it is quite difficult. You can imagine Lucknow still has a chance, but then they have a lot of fight. But Punjab, Delhi, KKR, they all have really uphill task. But let's go focus on Punjab as you were talking about them right now. Four to five wins in as many games, I think it's tough peak to climb.
I mean, it's not impossible. I know it's happened. We've seen. I know we're talking about five-time champions Mumbai. Mumbai went on a streak. It does happen occasionally in the IPL. Where they had to win, or CSK have done as well. It's sort of a seven-match winning streak or a six-match winning streak. So it is. It's not impossible. No, it is definitely a possibility. Punjab could, if they win the next five out of their six games, they could. Depending on results elsewhere going the other way around, it's definitely a possibility. From a performance perspective, I guess from Punjab, Shikhar Dhawan's been the highlight. Liam Livingstone obviously, big runs. Surprised that Johnny Bairstow hasn't come to the party. It's like five matches. He's just scored 47. He's really been not the sort of batsman that we've seen, you know, when he was with SRH. And I don't know, it may just be like the SRH and David Warner and him contribution combination. But this year, maybe it's the fact that he's not open this year. You know, they played him all over the place, you know, in 3-4 and different places.
Yeah, it could be, but yeah, Bastos' form would be concerning for, and he's a foreign player as well,
yeah.
So he may not get the long rope, and he's not doing keeping. Basically, they're playing him as a batsman, and if you're not paying dividends, you're going to be obviously, you know, it's easier because you have limited slots for foreign players.
Right, moving on from kind of Punjab, we talked about them, Delhi Capitals. Yeah, again, another team that will obviously struggle to make the playoffs race. You know, obviously most of the teams from here on are going to be like struggling to make. They probably, having played seven and only three with seven matches to go, they I suspect they need a five wins out of seven. No, probably six wins out of seven. So from here on, it, you know, for all of the teams, it becomes like that kind of thing. You need to win all of your games or close to all of your games is probably the sort of victory margins you're looking at.
But then the number of matches are also high. I think KKR, for example, you know, have to win all their matches, and then some other results need to go in their favor as well.
Yeah, that's the thing that started coming in again. I mean, just looking at a quick look at Delhi's fixtures. They've got KKR, Sunrisers, Lucknow Super Giants, Rajasthan, Mumbai. So they're pretty much playing all of the teams, you know, once. I know we talk about this, but just looking at the fixtures kind of thing, you know, I probably wouldn't mind kind of, you know, fancying Delhi. Looking at who they've got to play, like, you know, KKR, Lucknow, Sunrisers, Chennai, Rajasthan, Punjab and Mumbai Indians. Quite a few teams from the bottom half of the table is what they've got. Well, they've got three from the top and then four from the bottom. So, yeah. The controversy could spur them in. You know, that's you know, things like those have happened before. So that particular controversy could spur them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they may well, again, who's been the stars for them, you know, from a batting perspective, Prithvi Shaw, David Warner, Rishabh Pant, hasn't quite contributed. It's in fits and starts, you know. He's done. David Warner has scored more runs in five games than, you know, Rishabh Pant's managed in seven games.
Yeah.
So from a batting perspective, you know, they could still, bowling perspective, Kuldeep Yadav definitely right up there, you know, in good form, just on the coattails of Natarajan and Yuzvendra Chahal. So yeah, they.
Just now, Srini, just wanted to lay that out there. I think SRH have taken their first wicket. Imran Malik did a Dale Steyn celebration. I don't think Gill had the right idea by moving out of the stumps and playing an 145
kg. Yeah.
That's never a good idea. Lost his off stump, and this guy did exactly Imran Malik did that Dale Steyn celebration.
So Dale Steyn is not only training him from a bowling perspective, but also taking celebrations. All right, so the next team on our kind of list as we looked on, you know, on the table is KKR. Again, expected a lot from Shreyas Iyer, you know, in terms of from a batting, both from Shreyas and Venkatesh Iyer. Not delivered.
They started really well against CSK, didn't they? They started, when Venkatesh Iyer's, I think it started, Varun Chakravarti. I think some of them haven't really paid dividends. Varun Chakravarti, especially, I think, went for a few many runs. Venkatesh Iyer again. So I think that's starting to hurt them big time.
Yeah, they've, some of the games, if you think about it, actually, like, you know, they've lost some close games. I mean, the game they lost against Gujarat Titans, needing 156 to win, they were bowled out for 148. Similarly, against Rajasthan Royals as well, needing 217, they came close and lost 210. So it's been, like, you know, real close games that they've actually lost. So they just seem to be like, struggling to get over the line this past week, if you like. They're getting close there, but not actually making it. So those two, I think those two games will hurt them. They would have seen, win those two games, and they would have actually been right up there in contention with the other teams. But those close losses, they've got six games left. They probably need to win all six games, unless results go elsewhere for them, which I think is a tough ask to do at this stage.
Yeah, KKR are almost out, really, unless it's a miracle. I think, I'm not again, we can't discount anything, as you said, MI15 and all that, but yeah, it's a really uphill task in that.
Yeah, the two final teams to discuss, at the bottom, Chennai and Mumbai. I was going to try and do them separately, but it's like, well, maybe Mumbai should do separately, losing 8 out of 8. Chennai, this podcast, obviously, we are big Chennai fans. When the initial plan, when we were planning to start do this podcast, record this earlier in the week, but we couldn't do. The idea was Chennai just won, and Dhoni the finisher, and we were going to sort of focus this podcast predominantly on Dhoni the finisher and what he had achieved and things like that. But obviously, other things took over, and it's been kind of heartbreaking to see where Chennai are at the minute. I mean, it's 2 years ago, as I said, 2 years ago we were here, right at the bottom of the table, and then the following year, so we can give ourselves solace by saying, maybe next year we'll come back and win the league. That's a possibility, but
I think what would be good for these teams, the way I see it, and from their team's perspective, they would want to try out as much of bench strength and give them players enough experience. Rest some key players. I think that's what they would go ahead and do. Dhoni definitely, that game against Mumbai was like phenomenal, phenomenal hitting. We said the finisher doesn't look like he's finished. And it was like rave reviews. And then unfortunately, the game that we played,
Punjab.
Punjab, yeah, it didn't turn out to be the case. He was almost there. I chased a wide leg side delivery, which if he would have left it, it's a wide. I think the bowler was definitely under pressure. He just hit one and two ended 1-2. Bairstow, I think Bairstow was a catcher, wasn't he? In the boundary. And I said, yeah, I think if that ball went for six, Chennai was still in with a chance. But it's almost certainly ruled out now.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the big disappointment, I think, has been Jadeja's form. As a captain, I don't want to dwell on that. We did this to death, a couple of podcast episodes ago and stuff like that. But the fact, no, I don't not so much about his captaincy, but the moment he's got his captaincy, his batting seems to have tailed off. He's really not come to the party. I tweeted out last game, the one you're talking about, Punjab, that this was the game. Ambati Raidu was really dragged Chennai back into the match, and I said, this is where, yes, Dhoni, you can expect him, but Ravindra Jadeja needed to come to the party, and he really didn't, sort of do. I think he's not just done justice to his batting. The big find from a batting perspective has been Shivam Dubey. Disappointingly, from a bowling perspective, there isn't Dwayne Bravo actually leads the charts for Chennai. I mean, is Dwayne Bravo's done this for years. He's kind of on the last legs of the tournament. There's no new find. There's nobody new. I know Chennai probably banked a lot on Deepak Chahar to do. Unfortunately, he got injured, but from that, there's not been anybody who's really come in and said, I will take this chance. Mahesh Dixon has done a little bit, Mukesh Chaudhary little bit. Ravindra Jadeja hasn't really, you know, from a bowling perspective, you know, he's just got 5 wickets. Chris
Moeen
Jordan,
Ali.
Moeen Ali hasn't even had a single wicket, you know. I really, really don't know, like, you know, what they're trying to do. Even Mitchell Santner's played 3 games and got 2 wickets, whereas Moeen Ali, both batting and bowling,
yeah,
hasn't really been, made a contribution.
It's a strange, you know, I think we did have that. But hopefully, you know, at least one thing is clear now, Srini. I mean, for Chennai, the chances are they have to win all 6 in 6. And that's looking...
I think even if they win their 6, they will still struggle to make it. They will.
Yes.
As I said, like, you know, the 18 is probably the point IPL, you know, sort of qualification. Even if they do the 6, they're just only going to get, like, you know, 12 points and the existing 416. I would still think they'll fall short. Yeah, you're right. You know, they're there. Tournament's finished. It's about time now for the remaining games, the 6 games, try something. I mean, I was just looking at it, like, you know, they only use 13 players from the squad. Devon Conway just played 1 game, you know. I just don't get it, like, you know, sort of they bought in Devon Conway and he's just played one single game.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, none of the new kits have been tried. So it's been a poor anyway. Let's look at the biggest elephant in the room. Mumbai Indians, you know, crashing out of the IPL playoff race, 8 out of 8. I was trying to think, you know, there's never been a team that's actually lost the first 8 games, you know, in the IPL. I think there have been 1 or 2 Pune Super Giants, etc., who've lost 8 during, you know, mid-season sort of thing. But there's probably not been a team that's actually lost 8 out of 8 here or in. I mean, I can't think of any other tournament as well where they probably lost 8 games in a run in a row.
Like BBL or anything.
Yeah, BBL or CPL, etc.
Yeah. I mean, it's a rare feat. I think you can count on Mumbai to achieve those rare feats. I think, again, they were struggling. Ishan Kishan hasn't really fired. Rohit Sharma's form itself is really a big question. I'm almost now starting to see Mumbai Indians matches as how does it vote for India when they go to World T20 Championship. I think that's how I'm looking at it. So, yeah, Mumbai Indians is strange. Pollard has been hit and miss. He hasn't paid dividends again. It's a strange situation. I don't think it's a lot of introspection, but they need those off years to prove their character. You can't be winning all the time.
I agree, you can't be winning all the time, but it's still, like, you know, it is to lose 8 out of 8 is unbelievable. I mean, nobody seems to be, like, you know, putting the hand up and saying, we'll deliver. There's not been one performance, batting performance, somebody who's dragged up from a bowling perspective. And
yeah,
I said this the other day, like, you know, their top 5-6 is not poor. They're all, like, you know, Ishan Kishan, Rohit Sharma, Surya Kumar Yadav, Kiran Pollard, Tim David. It's a good batting. Tilak Verma is obviously come in and done. You know, so it's a good batting top 5-6. You know, most teams would pick them up. Similarly, from a bowling perspective, Jasprit Bumrah, Timal Mills, Morgan Ashwin, again, Kiran Pollard bowling. You think most teams would pick these batsmen and bowlers, you know, as first choice. It's just been a strange season, you know, why. And
yeah,
we talked about this right at the beginning, you know, when we were doing the IPL preview and said, well, you know, all the games are at Mumbai. Mumbai have the home advantage.
Yes, we did.
It's like, home advantage is completely gone out of the window. They barely may have been able to manage. So, yeah, that's probably...
Yeah, it's an IPL competition of 9 teams now. Let's put it...
Well, I think it's an IPL competition of 8 teams now.
8 teams now,
with probably the top 5 more likely to make the playoff, you know, one of them falling out. But, yeah, we'll see how that works out.
SRH are doing really well, Srini. I don't know, you know, I think... Umran Malik has hit Hardik Pandya, almost injured him, and he scored a couple of boundaries before bouncing out one to Like, I've never seen a fine third man so fine. It's almost like a backup keeper. I was watching the game as we were recording. I was like, hilarious. You know, like there's a keeper behind the keeper almost in the boundary line who took the catch. I think they set him up for very for exactly this shot. So yeah, it would be interesting. I think these tactics, although they are minor, count for a lot for
Yeah.
this.
So wouldn't be surprised if we should do it at the end of the season, like, to see or pick our T20 team based on this, or the best team. But anyway, on that note, let's round up this week's podcast. If you do like the sound of this, please subscribe to this podcast on Spotify or any other podcast from which you get, and do leave your reviews and ratings. Follow us on Twitter at Yellow and Blues, and our website on yellowandblues.com. Until next week.